friends, and welcome to my treehouse. My name is Miss Adventure, and I'm so glad you're here with me today. You can grab a hold of the rope ladder and climb on up to join me. Watch your step and grab a cushion to sit on. Here at Miss Adventure's treehouse, I love having fun, being silly, sharing stories, making new friends, and in the process, learning what makes Jesus so special and what makes us so special to Him. Friends, do you remember my new robot friend, Reba? Reba, do you remember my friends? Yes, I sure do. Except they are not just your friends. Now they are my friends, too. Hi, friends. Reba, do you want to tell our friends what happened to you yesterday? Ha ha. I don't know if they can handle a funny story. They might laugh too hard and blow a fuse. They don't have fuses like you do, Reba. If they laugh, it'll be okay. Okay. Yesterday, Miss Adventure and I were brainstorming story ideas out on the lawn. We were lying on our backs, looking up at the clouds and sharing ideas. It was so relaxing. Miss Adventure went inside, and while she was gone, I closed my eyes for a little nap. All of a sudden, I felt something tickle my belly. I opened my eyes to see a squirrel. He had skittered up my side, found my power button, and must have thought it was an acorn. He pulled and tugged and tickled me until I went to sleep. You powered down. He turned you off. When I came back outside, Reba wasn't responding. I looked her over and finally noticed her power button was missing. That silly squirrel ran off with it. She must have buried it underground to try and eat it later. Fortunately, I had a spare power button knob and got Reba fixed right up. Now I'm good as new. And I'm so glad. Because after that, you helped me to come up with the idea for today's story. And because I love you, friend. Before we get to the story today, I want to say a huge thank you to my friend Mr. Chris for playing the role of Joshua in today's story. Mr. Chris, you did a fantastic job, and I thank you so much. Also, thank you to Bryson for sending me a picture of Peacock flying in his iFly balloon wearing a dragon shirt. So cool, buddy. And thank you, Elowende Rose, for your drawings of Elo's story. I love them. And thank you, Sullivan, for your drawing of Peacock in his hot air balloon. And Ruby, for your pictures from Trevor Can't Climb and what you learned about Jesus and how God tore the curtain in the temple in two to make a way for us to be his friend. Fabulous artwork, friends. If you would also like to send me a picture, I would love to see it too. You can send it to my email address or Facebook group in the show notes. Today's story is called Theodore's Hunger. Let's go. Theodore was usually a very chipper squirrel, content in all things and happy to be alive. Usually. But not when he was hungry. When he was hungry, Theodore turned mean. And I don't mean just frowning at every squirrel you pass kind of mean. He was the knock down an old lady walking into the grocery store and steal candy from her handbag, leaving her lying on the ground in pain kind of mean. Granted, he had never actually done that incredibly rude deed, but when he was hungry, he was capable of such things. And today, he was hungry. The treetop canopy stretching over the neighborhood that he called home usually contained acorns this time of year, and lots of them. However, this year, probably due to the field across from his neighborhood being cleared to put in a brand new shiny shopping center, family after family of new squirrels moved into his home, devouring the acorns months earlier than usual.
If only I could remember where I buried those acorns,
Theodore moaned, his stomach growling, as he jumped over a fence and down into a familiar backyard. But something on this particular day was not familiar. A pole. A very tall pole in the very center of all the beautiful green grass in this yard. The pole from which Theodore knew he could smell something amazing.
Not acorns,
he He spoke to himself out loud so he could think over the loud grumbles of his tummy.
Seeds!
Not only were seeds something that could stop Theodore's stomach from grumbling, they were, in fact, Theodore's absolute favorite food. He was drawn to them like a kid to cotton candy at a circus. His stomach grumbled louder as if it had nose of its own and smelled the smell too. His fluffy tail began to twitch and followed him quickly in frantic leaps to the pole. He stopped. He looked at the top of the pole for his eyes to confirm what his nose was certain of. There, at the top, sat a glorious, giant container of seeds. His heart and hungry stomach leapt for joy. Then he looked down in front of him.
Hmm,
he thought, this time in his mind, as he stood face to face with a sign, obviously written by a human hand, but in squirrelese.
For birds only,
he read aloud.
Interesting.
He looked behind him, and then spun in a complete circle, checking to see who might have written the sign, and more importantly, who might catch him if he, a squirrel, attempted to take food that was only for birds.
Phew! No one in sight!
His stomach spoke to his brain. And as fast as only a squirrel can, and faster than any human eyes can truly understand, he stuck his paws up, stood on his hind legs, and jumped with all his might. Joshua sat in his cozy easy chair next to the sunroom window with coffee in one hand and a book in the other. All of Joshua's life, he had loved birds. He had traveled the world to see so many different varieties, he almost couldn't keep count. The bird aviary at the local zoo had even been named after him, Joshua P. Wright Bird Paradise. But despite his love for birds, he had never, not until today, invited birds to come to him. He took months to create the perfect bird-watching plan. He had purchased many, many books about birds, found just the right bird feeder, and invested in very expensive bird seed to have the best chance possible of attracting beautiful flying creatures into his yard. Earlier that morning, he had taken extra care in assembling the bird feeder and placing it atop a post in the very center of his backyard, out of reach of any wingless animal. He even went to the trouble of oiling the pole to make it too slippery to climb, and visiting his local library for an English to Squirrelese dictionary so that he could make sure squirrels knew they were not invited.
Cardinals.
He read words he had now memorized while he relaxed in his chair by the window.
Have sturdy beaks designed for removing seeds from their shells. Their favorites include safflower and sunflower.
Something skittered across the lawn in his line of sight and caught his attention. He lowered the book and frowned.
I hope you know how to read, little fella.
Oh, my!
Joshua rose to his feet as the small creature jumped halfway up the pole and grabbed hold with all fours, then immediately slid back down to the ground.
Those seeds are not for you. No siree. Get on now. Go find yourself some tasty acorns and stay away from my cardinal's food.
Desperate times call for desperate measures,
thought Theodore.
I'm not sure what that means exactly, but I do feel like it applies here.
The growing, grumbling noise coming from his midsection convinced him. Theodore continued attempting to retrieve dinner, unaware of Joshua's watchful eye.
Oh, glorious seeds! Sunflower, safflower,
he mused. Several failed attempts at climbing the slippery pole left him frustrated, but not defeated.
I need a different plan.
He climbed the fence and then onto the roof of the house for a better look.
Too risky to jump from here. And besides, I could never jump that far.
Then he noticed a bush in the yard, a very tall bush. As tall as the feeder. It was a great distance from the bird feeder, but closer than the house or fence. There was nothing else to leap from anywhere near the feeder, and with no acorns and sniffing range, it was his only hope. Joshua sat quietly now, amused at the show playing out before him.
Hmph, this squirrel isn't going to give up easily. Martha, honey, come here. You've got to see this.
He hollered for his wife, who was washing dishes in the kitchen. By the time she had arrived, the squirrel had ascended the red tip bush and stood frozen, still, appearing to be calculating his next move.
Look, look right there, dear. See that squirrel? I do believe he is attempting to eat all of my bird seed.
Why aren't you stopping him? Martha asked.
Oh, I will. But for now, I think this show is about to be worth the price of admission.
Martha looked at Joshua, puzzled, and then sat down.
Oh my goodness!
They both rose to their feet as they watched the squirrel sail from the heights of the bush toward the feeder and fall, landing on its feet, no less, 10 feet short of the pole. That was an impressive jump.
But with that landing, I bet he doesn't try it again.
Martha wasn't nearly as amused. Enjoy your show, whatever you paid for it. Theodore climbed again, jumped again, and fell again and again. Never did he get within 5 feet of the feeder. The closest he got was hitting the base of the pole head first on his way down.
Ouch!
Theodore's head was spinning from the impact, but he was not giving up. He had to have that food. His brain and stomach agreed, although his injured head was pretty sure there was a better way. He climbed again to the top of the red tip bush and perched on a branch.
Impossible! Completely impossible! I'll never get to that bird seed! There's no way! I may never have another meal again!
He cried. His body, now out of energy, sank down into the leaves. Theodore's ears perked up. Normally, he would have jumped and ran at such a sound, but not today. Not when he was too hungry and now too tired to move.
What's he up to?
Theodore thought. A man slowly walked to the bird feeder, pulled up the sign written in squirrelese, and carried it away. Within just seconds, the gray-haired man was back at the feeder, this time looking at the bush Theodore was sitting atop with squinted eyes. Theodore wanted so desperately to hide. He dared not move a muscle, even if he had had energy to do so. He knew that even though he was beyond hungry, practically wasting away from hunger, in fact, and that birdseed was his favorite thing in the whole world, he had trespassed and attempted to take what was not rightfully his. A smile spread across the man's face as he spotted and locked eyes with Theodore. The man took a step toward Theodore slowly and tentatively, and then another, until he was positioned directly in between the bush and the pole holding the feeder. Then, to Theodore's surprise, the man began to speak. None of the words made sense, of course, to Theodore, being a squirrel. But he could tell from the man's tone and actions that he was kind. The man stood still and quiet and slowly raised his arms, one to each side of his body, to make a bridge of sorts from the bush to the feeder. Theodore jumped back, afraid the man's arm might grab him and destroy him. He was certainly big enough to do so, but it didn't. And Theodore relaxed.
What is he doing?
Theodore was confused. The man turned his head to look at Theodore and smiled at him again with arms outstretched.
Come here, little guy.
The man spoke in the most kind voice Theodore had ever heard. Granted, he had never stopped long enough to listen to many voices before. A sudden burst of energy came over Theodore. He glanced at the bird feeder, drew a mental picture of the situation, and realized that if he could just jump onto the man's arm, he could walk over the man's head and make it to dinner.
Seeds!
He squeaked. His body almost leapt from the bush, but his better judgment stopped him.
What if he hurts me? What if his kindness is a trap? He doesn't even like squirrels. The sign proved that.
Inside Tiny Theodore, a battle played out. A battle between his grumbling tummy and his mind. The man stood still, arms wide, perfectly still, bridging the gap.
You got it, little buddy. Come on, you can go eat. It's okay.
Theodore knew there was only one way to the food. Possibly only one way to find life. He may never find another meal again. But to get to it, he had to do something he had never done before. He had to trust a human. His mind swam. His tummy gave one last complaining call. And he knew that he wanted that birdseed more than anything else, no matter what it cost him. As if in slow motion, he reared back on his hind legs and pushed off, flying from the bush onto the frozen man. He landed on his right arm, ran across his gray hair, jumped over his left arm, and landed on the feeder.
Hooray!
Shouted Joshua.
You trusted me!
What in the world are you doing, Joshua? Martha had first noticed her husband standing silently next to the feeder, and then the squirrel enjoying the expensive birdseed.
I made a way,
he said with a lump in his throat.
The poor thing was hungry. He needs food too, and he certainly couldn't get to it on his own. So I made a way, and he trusted me.
Martha shook her head with a smile on her lips. You've always been compassionate, Joshua. I love that about you. Even to a trespassing, disobedient squirrel. Joshua knew his wife was right. He really did have compassion for this little creature.
You have all you want, little buddy.
He told the squirrel, grateful to help the squirrel in a way he could never have helped himself. He took a few steps closer to check on him. Theodore turned and looked at the man. Normally, he wouldn't allow a human within 10 feet of him. There was something different about this one. He could tell he was good. And Theodore trusted him. He stopped eating. He felt that his heart might burst with joy, being even more full than his belly. With tenderness, he leapt back onto the man's shoulder, and in an amazing display of gratitude, wrapped his fuzzy tail around his neck in a hug.
Friends, at the beginning of our story, did you expect Joshua to help Theodore?
Honestly, I didn't think that was how he would get to the seeds when I first started writing this story. Isn't that funny? But God had a better story planned than I did. I love when he does that.
I've got another question for you today, friends. Do you know where we find true, real, and exciting life?
Ooh, seeds!
Oh, hi, Theodore! I'm so glad you made it to the treehouse today. I was just telling my friends your story. I know seeds make you happy, and they fill up your belly so you can have energy to live. But life, real life, actually comes from God.
Oh!
And do you know how we can find that true life from God?
How?
By being close to Him, by being His friend. How do you think we do that?
We do all the right things and be really good?
Actually, no. Truth be told, we can't be good enough. We'd have to be perfect, and I think you and I both know none of us is that. Remember Joshua's sign that you disobeyed? But there is someone who lived a perfect, sinless life once.
Oh, was it Joshua? Or Great-Grandpa Squirrel? He is the wisest squirrel in the neighborhood, and I've never seen him do anything wrong.
No, it's not either one of them. It's Jesus. And Jesus tells us that because of that, He is the only way for us to be with God, our Father. In chapter 14 of the book of John, in the Bible, Jesus tells His disciples that He's about to go to His Father's house, God's home in heaven, and prepare a place for them. Jesus was about to leave them, and His disciples were afraid. They didn't know the way to find Him again. Jesus told them He would come back and take them to be with Him, but they didn't understand. So they asked Him, "How will we know the way?" Jesus comforts them with these words, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Did you hear that? Jesus said he was the only way to the Father.
How is he the way, Miss Adventure? Do we just believe that he's the way and then we get to be with God?
No, not exactly. Let's see. Joshua was the only way to the bird seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Theodore, if you had believed that Joshua existed, would you have a full belly?
No, that's silly. I had to jump across him and run really, really fast to get the food.
And believing that God exists, or that Jesus is real, isn't the way for us to be close to him. James tells us in the Bible that even the demons believe that, and it scares them. Believing that God exists is the first part, but that doesn't change our sinfulness.
So, what changes our sinfulness so that we can get closer to God the Father? How's Jesus the way to him?
Let me ask you another question. What was it that allowed you to get close to the bird seed?
Joshua. I had to jump on him and run across his head.
Yes. And what did it take inside of you to do that?
Oh, a leap. And a whole lot of trust inside.
Trust? That's it, Theodore. We have to not only believe that God exists and that Jesus made a way, we have to trust him with our lives. Trust that what he did on the cross really does take the punishment for our sin. And we have to trust him enough to trade being the boss of our own lives for letting him lead us. Friends, Jesus wants you to trust him too. He died to pay for your sins and asks you to put your trust in him. That he is a bridge for you to be close to God. He's the only way. You can't be good enough on your own. He did what you couldn't do so that you can be God's friend. Think about that. Find a trusted adult and talk to them about that. Jesus is so good to provide a way for us to have our deepest need met. Our need to be with God, who is love. I love you too, friends. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.